We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton on the Encouraging Word. Today, Dr. Wilton continues to speak about this guaranteed covenant we have between us as followers of Christ and the Creator of the universe. You know, in this day and age, there is a pushback in many cases, even in America, against free speech and freedom of religion. There's a wonderful book and a message from Dr. Wilton on our website right now, helping fuel us to understand how we respond in a loving but yet firm way as followers of Christ to have the courage to stand up for what we believe in. The book's called A Call for Courage, and the message Be Salt and Light, all on our website right now at tewonline.org. You can take a peek as we open God's Word to Hebrews chapter 7 with Dr. Don Wilton and the conclusion of a guaranteed covenant. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
He broke up loaves and fishes. He fed the 5,000. He rode in boats. He ran headlong into Pharisees and Sadducees. He went into the temple. He taught. He healed people. He made blind people see. He rubbed shoulders with the community. He went uphill and downdale. We have no problem, but here's the question. What did Jesus do after he went back to heaven? What is Jesus doing? Is he fishing? Is he walking around? What is Jesus doing? What's Jesus doing right now? Do you know what the Bible tells us, folks? That Jesus Christ is engaged in non-stop, endless, eternal intercession for somebody like me. That means that throughout time and eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, is having a conversation with God the Father about me and about you. Wow. Did you know that? You might be forgotten somewhere. Now watch what the third thing is that he does. Not only does he complete salvation, not only does he provide complete intercession, but he guarantees complete satisfaction. You see, if you go to verse 26, the Bible says, such a high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ meets our needs. Just by the way, I hope I don't burst your bubble with this one. Did you know that the Bible does not say that Jesus Christ solves our problems? You know, some of us kind of think that he's sort of like a motor mechanic. And something goes wrong with the motor car, and we take him to the motor mechanic, and the motor mechanic finds the problem. No, no. Jesus Christ meets our needs. He provides complete satisfaction. The meeting of needs is far more significant than solving our problems, because when our needs are met, our problems are solved. Problem solving is temporary. It's a papering over the cracks. Many times you will have a problem solved and it rears its head again the next day. They're going to be watching me for the next 4 or 5 months, and they got me on all kinds of blood thinners, and I'm not allowed to bump my head, and I've got to give up parachuting, and I'm not allowed to ride motorbikes, and I've got to stop jumping off cliffs, and I cannot arm wrestle with my sons. In fact, life has just gone to pieces. Do you know something, my friends? Jesus Christ guarantees complete satisfaction. That's why he is the guarantor of the covenant that has been made between me and my Heavenly Father. Let's go on to the second question. If that is the answer to what exactly Jesus does to guarantee this covenant, how exactly does Jesus guarantee this covenant? How does he do it? Well, the Bible says it is done by means of two things. Number one, he guarantees this covenant with a binding commitment. Now, I want you to go back to verse 20 through 22, because a word keeps coming up here called an oath. Did you know something, folks? The Bible says this. The Bible says that there was never an occasion when God told the Levitical priests of the Old Testament that they would serve according to his oath. God never made an oath to Aaron. He never made an oath to any priest. Now, he instituted the Old Testament priesthood. It was not bad because God instituted it, but he never did it with an oath. He never made a binding commitment, not in one place, nowhere in the scriptures. Those priests could only serve until the age of 50. They could only offer one sacrifice, one at a time, for one sin at a time. They died, all of them. This passage tells us they all died. Even Aaron died. They were frail and weak, according to verse 28. God by no means bound their covenant relationship with him by virtue of an oath, but not so with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us right there in verse 20, he says, and it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but when he became a priest with an oath, what were the two consequences of what God did? Number one, his oath signified the permanence of the covenant that God, his son. And number two, the oath signified the fact that God would never change his mind. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 110 and verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever. By the way, if you've ever been to court, I know some of you have. We could ask our solicitor about this. I can tell you, you go to court today and you're up for whatever it might be. The prosecutor, whoever it is, the judge gets you up there and you put your hand on the Bible. And you raise your left hand, or you put your left hand, raise your right hand. I can't remember. In fact, I've never done it. Just wanted to put that in there. So whichever hand you put on is fine with me, but you put your hand on the Bible, raise your other hand, and what do you say? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Excuse me? Why? In the Constitution of the United States of America, no matter what the Anti-Christian League Union has to say about it, no matter what the marchers and the protesters have to say about it, no matter how people try to do whatever they can to destroy the value system of this nation, which is grounded in the Word of God, I'm here to announce to you today, my friend, that when this country was founded, it was founded upon the fundamental principles of the guarantee of the covenant of who God is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, my friends, you can get out a machine gun, but I will stand until my dying day and I will pledge allegiance to the flag of these United States of America, one nation, under God, under God. You don't mess with God. America better stop messing with God. We better stop trying to take God out of everything that we do and removing the Ten Commandments and playing a game with prayer. We better be careful. Why? Because it is God in Christ Jesus who is the only guarantee of the covenant between God and man. And if you take Jesus Christ out of the equation, we do not have a guarantee. We're going to fall flat on our face. How did he do this? Number one, with a binding commitment. Number two, with an horrific action. Bible says in verse 27, the middle part, it says there that Jesus Christ sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. I want to submit to you today, my friends, that the cross of Christ Jesus was an horrific act. That's how Jesus Christ did it. He did it with a binding commitment and an horrific act. When I was a student in Africa, I used to go and work on farms, and I spent at least two of my summer vacations working on a massive sheep and cattle and wheat and maize farm, massive, massive farm, hundreds of thousands of acres. This farmer, Mr. Udendaal, had 44,000 sheep. And I would be put in charge of running the entire operation right there in Central Africa. We used to slaughter sheep almost every day. You know how you kill a sheep? At least back then, you just lie him down, just pick him up, lie him down. Put your knee in his shoulder blade, just lift his chin up a little bit, and you stab him right in the jugular vein, and then you cut his throat. One of these days, God's going to allow me to get up and preach in this pulpit about the reality of the horrific nature of the cross. I've been into some churches where you walk into a church and there's a pretty picture of a pretty Jesus hanging on a clean little cross with a white linen wrapped around him with his head tilted over the side, looking like he's taking a nap. I want to tell you something, my friend. The guarantee of this covenant was that the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, went like a lamb to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. How did Jesus do this? There's a third question. Why exactly does Jesus guarantee this covenant? Why? Well, again, verse 26, in one verse, the Bible gives us five reasons why Jesus guarantees this covenant. Number one, because he is holy. Did you know that the holiness of God is that component of the character of Jesus Christ which points to God? His holiness, my friend, means that there was no sin in Jesus Christ which Satan could point to. In John 14, 30, Jesus said, "The ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing to me. He means nothing to me because I am holy." Peter said, "Be ye holy because God is holy." Why did Jesus become the guarantee of the covenant between God and man? Because he is holy.
A guarantee, sometimes we run away from that thinking, oh, how could you guarantee it? But when Jesus guarantees it himself by becoming the guarantee of the covenant, it changes everything. We'll be right back with the rest of today's message with Dr. Wilton. But Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. Available 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. I pray you'll jot the number down, store it in your cell. We'd be happy to pray with you. Also, to connect you with resources that'll help you grow in your faith. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now let's get back to today's great teaching on a guaranteed covenant with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number two, because he is blameless. That's what the word says in verse 26. Now, friend, listen carefully. Blamelessness is the innocence of Jesus Christ. If his holiness is the virtue by which Jesus Christ is connected to the heart of God the Father, his blamelessness is the virtue by which Jesus Christ is connected to the heart of man. He is the God-man. He is innocent before man. He injured no man. He went about doing good. No wonder Pontius Pilate stood there in that temple court and washed his hands, and he said, "I can find no fault with this man." And the crowd screamed, "Give us Barabbas." He went as a lamb to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. They could not lay a charge at his feet. Why does Jesus Christ guarantee this covenant? Because he is holy. Because he is pure. Number three. Because he is pure. Number two, because he is blameless. Number three, because he is pure. That's what the Word of God says there. He's holy. He is blameless. He is pure. Now, what did that mean? Well, my friends, put directly, it means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was free, totally free from any moral or spiritual sin. There was no taint. No hint of sin in his life. Jesus Christ, despite his life, remained untouched by human sinfulness. He remained undefiled. He was unspoiled. He was the Lamb of God, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He was pure. We're talking about my Savior here. Who else could have guaranteed this covenant? Could a priest do it? No, there's not a priest, not a minister, not a pastor in this world that is either holy or blameless or pure. We are weak and sinful people. There is not a thing that we can do. Why? Jesus Christ, he is holy. That points to God. He is innocent and blameless. That points to his relationship with man. He is pure. Number four, he is set apart, the Word of God says. He is set apart from sinners. By the way, the word we use there doctrinally is sanctification, which means that while Jesus Christ was not separated in person, that is bodily, from those that he mixed and rubbed shoulders with, he was totally different in nature. You know, that's the clarion call of our Christian discipleship. Did you know that? Now, folks, I'll confess to you, I go and eat in places all the time that I enjoy the food, but some of those places make me awfully uncomfortable. A couple of months ago, I was in Atlanta at the airport, and I was starving to death, as usual, and so I found a Chili's. I think it's on Concourse B. You know, you take a left and a right and a left and a right, get lost in the crowd, and there's Chili's. You go up the escalator. I went up there on top of the escalator in Chili's. It was packed. My plane was going to leave in about an hour. I knew I had no time. They said, look, it's going to take at least 45 minutes for you to get a seat, sir. I said, do you realize who you're dealing with? A man of my caliber. They said, well, sir, there's only one seat left. It's right up there at the bar. Stuck in the corner there. I said, I'll take it. I walked in there all by myself with my briefcase. I sat up on that high chair, put it down. I began to order my salad or whatever it was I was having. And all of a sudden, I started to look over my shoulder in case Mr. L. Clark, the chairman of deacons, walked by. I all of a sudden began to feel out of place. Oh, I wasn't touching any alcohol. I wasn't doing anything I shouldn't do. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There are some places that I go to that even though I go to them, I feel awfully uncomfortable. You know what that is? It's called sanctification. It means that when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you are separated unto him for righteousness. All of a sudden, you become a square peg in a round hole. All of a sudden, when you're playing golf and everybody else is cussing, it makes you feel uncomfortable. All of a sudden, when you watch a movie and they keep blaspheming the name of Jesus, it makes you feel uncomfortable. All of a sudden, when you're standing around and they're telling dirty jokes, it makes you feel uncomfortable. All of a sudden, when somebody invites you to go somewhere that just is not savory and just is not acceptable to God, it makes you feel uncomfortable. I want to tell you why Jesus Christ guarantees the covenant. Because he is set apart. Any questions? Number five, because he is exalted above the heavens. You know what happened according to the passage? Then he's exalted above the heavens. It meant just simply this, that God looked down upon this one whom he had addressed as my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he glorified the Son. He exalted him. He seated him at the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for us. You know what it means to be exalted above the heavens? It means that God was making a statement that Jesus Christ is superior to anything and all things pertaining to his creation. That there is not a single thing that can come to mind that can ever claim ascendancy, rulership, or authority over the Son of God. Not a single thing. Well, there's one final question. All of these things having been said, here it is. When exactly does Jesus Christ guarantee this covenant? When? Well, verse 28 tells us three things that will answer that question. When exactly does Jesus Christ guarantee this covenant? Number one, now, because the Son of God has been appointed. That's what the word says. Folks, listen, next year 2004, guess what's going to happen? When does Jesus Christ guarantee this covenant? It is now, because Jesus Christ has already been appointed, according to this passage in verse 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son. I've got an announcement to make to you today. Jesus Christ doesn't need any kind of political campaign. Jesus Christ, my friend, is not going to go and interview with Larry King or Barbara Walters, for that matter. Jesus Christ is not going to have to sit on a platform and debate with all the candidates lying up to see who's going to tell the best lies and who's going to get the hearts of the people. Jesus Christ doesn't even come and say, "Give me your money." No, sir. I want you to know, God has already appointed the president. He's in place. He is the king, and he rules forever. There is no need for an election. And I want you to know something. There is no need for a political manifesto. There is nothing that needs to be said. I want you to know that everything that has been said has been said. It has been done. And Jesus says, I don't even want your money. I want you to take your money. I want you to put it in your church. I want you to give it for boys and girls and for mission trips. I want you to build my kingdom upon this earth. I want you to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor seed doth corrupt. And I want to tell you why. Because my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already been appointed as the president of the universe. And his appointment has come by virtue of the oath of God. And my will never change. I beg of you today, precious friend. I beg of you today. Have you voted for this one? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's the question. And if you've heard Dr. Wilton before, it's not the first time you've heard him mention that. But perhaps this is the first time that you're not hearing Dr. Don ask you that question. You know that God is using this broadcast because he loves you and is pursuing a personal relationship with you. You've heard Dr. Don as he's been teaching and preaching. Now open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place, so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you prayed along with Dr. Wilton moments ago to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Jesus, we want you to know we are excited to see what God's going to do in your life. We're also excited to see how we can help, how we can pray you through those next steps, and how we can help you with some resources Dr. Don Wilton has prepared just for you. If you'd like to receive those, call us at 866-899-WORD and let us know you've given your life to Christ or today rededicated your life to Jesus. The phone number is 866-899-WORD. 1-800-899-9673. And it's good anytime, any 24 hours a day. As Dr. Don says, we all need 2 a.m. friends, and we'd love to be one of yours. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. You'll find great resources like this.
No one is born courageous, but everyone hopes to have courage when the time comes. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, you will receive Be Salt and Light, a powerful two-message series by Dr. Wilton that includes a Christian's response to a nation in crisis and a Christian response to a personal attack. Plus, you will receive A Call for Courage, a soul-stirring book that will help motivate you into action. Both of these ministry resources will help you know why you should respond and how to respond when under attack. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You can stand up. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And request to be Salt and Light in the bonus book, A Call for Courage, today. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word. Now is the time to spread the gospel.
That's just one of many resources on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And while you're there, take a moment and sign up for the daily email devotion from Dr. Wilton. You can sign up today and you'll get it in the next couple of days. That's online at the bottom of our website, tewonline.org. Before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word. And now you know why.
Our time's gone for today, but don't forget, 866-899-WORD, anytime, day or night, for prayer, 866-899-9673, or meet us on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And I would ask you to, while you're there, discover more about who we are, where we've come from, the years that we've been broadcasting, our connectedness to financial accountability organizations, the reality that Dr. Wilton and Dr. Billy Graham had a great relationship as he pastored him over 20 years. And know that I don't say that to brag on anything, but to say this is fertile soil and God is using it every day to see lives changed. So would you consider prayerfully getting involved in our ministry? Prayer is the most important value that we know changes lives. So we would ask you to pray for us, and we'd also ask you to invest. If you'd like to give financially, you'll find more information on our website at tewonline.org. We believe this biblically based preaching is ready to be shared with even more. The